Hey, yo, what up? Welcome back to Pod Tog. It is the pod where we talk pods, pod togs, and I always introduce it perfectly. This is your host, Bugs Matrix, and with me, as always, is the lovely...
Jordan Black here. How are you doing today, Bugs?
I'm doing interestingly. Had a host blow up on Blue Sky for the first time in forever, so I forgot how heinous... it is to have your notifications fucked, but aside from that,
yeah,
I'm doing pretty good.
It's interesting you say that, because you're not the first person that I've had recently tell me about like how much Blue Sky sucks as somebody who they primarily use Blue Sky, and I find that kind of funny.
I mean, it's not that it doesn't usually suck, it's just the site does not really feel intended to have like... You know, like when something pops on Twitter and you have like your notifications are just like turbo fucked and it's whatever, but like you can still kind of manage things. For whatever reason, like the way that the order in which things are interacted with on Blue Sky, like really, really bungs the notifications. So like it is kind of unusable for me right now because I have me bitching about AI popping off.
Ah, yeah, that will happen.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully, no one's being a turbo freak to me and trying to say that AI is good, actually. Oh, actually, did you see, I sent you the headline that I had a post about the...
oh, yeah, no, you did. It's
the... The court hearing that used an AI video of a guy forgiving his killer as part of a witness statement. I'm just like, we're in hell. Like, I'm in internet hell.
It's not great. It's not great.
We're in turbo hell. Outside of that, though, I'm coming off a great con weekend. So, like, otherwise in pretty good spirit.
Oh, cool. And well, we're heading into, because Las Vegas is when? I only know it's coming up because the Festival in a Box is going on sale soon.
Oh, yeah. God, I'm going to need to get me one of those because I am not going to Vegas. But I think Vegas is, like, I think it's sometime in June because it should be, like, or is it? Is it late May or early June?
It's probably early. That sounds right.
Oh my God. You could not pay me enough to go to Vegas.
In like, fucking June? I think not.
No. Vegas should be the February one. Chicago should be the summer one. I don't know. Put it cold somewhere in the fall. Like, bring back Philly. Bring back, something more West Coasty.
Philly would be rad. I would love Philly.
Philly'd be sick. Like, I'd absolutely go. Because they had Philly, I think it was, like, 2023 was the last time MagicCon was in Philly. But, yeah, this past weekend was SCG Con Minneapolis, and that was just pleasant.
And so tell me a little bit about that, I guess, because I am unfamiliar.
So, Star City Games. So, it was mostly for, like, comp grinder stuff. Like, they were firing Standard, they were firing Modern, they were firing Pauper, which I participated in. I got super blown out, but I got to play my Affinity deck, and that was fun. And there was some sort of, like, badge-only Commander something or other, but I'm like, it's $100 fucking, and I'm sorry, I'm not paying $100 for an otherwise free con to go play Commander for, like, a convention that is in my backyard.
Yeah, that seems like a lot for Commander, especially if it's in an area where you are likely to run into people that you might already be playing with on a regular basis.
Like, there was a little bit of, like, swag that came with it, but I'm like, no, absolutely not. But there was a ton, like, props to SCG Con, there was a ton of, like, free table space. I was able to jam a couple good games of Commander, some great games of Pauper, and like hang out with folks from out of town without, like, there was never a moment where I was like, Jesus Christ, I can't find anything, like, anywhere to sit or anywhere to get anything set up. So, like, that was fantastic. I spent way too much money on mystery boosters, but it's fine because we definitely made our money back.
Well, okay, what mystery are you talking, mystery booster one or two, and what were the good pulls you got?
So, mystery boosters, both one and two. Vi and I did a sealed for each of them, so it was 12 and 12. And greatest hits, Mystery Booster 1, we hit a Mana Crypt, which was awesome.
Okay, Jesus. Damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't even know that was in there. Mystery Booster 2 was like a couple Thassa's Oracles, a couple...
Okay, all right. Yeah. So that's where you got the cards you were showing me.
Yeah. Everything you earlier was all Mystery Booster hits.
Love that.
It was just fun. Yeah, honestly, I'm kind of eyeing the Festival in a Box just to do like a draft Mystery Booster 2.
Hell yeah.
Because, yeah, it's, like, I went into it knowing the hype of how cool these packs are to, like, jam limited with, and wow, my cube is eating. Like there was one pack, this wasn't even, like, turbo money, but it was like, oh yeah, like, Fairy Macabre, Hole Breacher, and Peer into the Abyss. All in one pack, and I'm like, yeah, that's, I love seeing these cards next to each other.
That is very funny.
I really, really need to get one of those Future Sight Border Demonic Consultations, though, for my cube.
Oh, I'm of two minds about the Future Sight Borders. I like them. I don't know. I think they are a neat variation, but I don't know. I don't know why I'm even really bitching about it.
I like them. I think they're really funny because they're super tilting. Like the Mystery Booster ones in particular, being like, oh, all those cards you know and love and or hate are in like a kind of funny gag border. Like losing to a Future Sight border Thassa's Oracle is like so fucking funny. Or like a white border Urza's Saga, like,
yeah, I have one of those. Yeah,
they're sick. Like, I think or white border Faithless Looting, like, yes, please.
The white border cards are kind of funny. I will give that.
Oh my god, I need the Teferi 3 in white border. Like, that is the most, like, just, oh, go kill yourself if that resolves at the table. But yeah, so something Mystery Boosters live up to the hype.
I think, yeah, I'm at a place where I don't know if I'm going to be able to in a wise way afford the Festival in a Box, but I really, really, really did enjoy the time I opened the last Festival in a Box, and it was definitely worth the money for me. So I'm at this place where I'm like, I kind of want to see if I can move stuff around. Cause I'm at this place where I'm also like kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm selling a lot. I'm shedding, yeah. I'm getting rid of I've been getting rid of some decks instead of taking them apart. I've just gotten rid of some of them. And so it's weird to be in a spot where it's like, actually, what if I got even more stuff? Huh?
Yeah, but I mean, like, there's a lot of good hits that you can kind of just flip where it's like, you know, if you open...
That is true.
Like, you know, we cracked several Thassa's Oracles, and I'm like, I don't play enough CDH to need more than one copy of this, and the one copy is just gonna live in the cube, because, like, I have a copy of Demonic Consultation anyway. Like, yeah, it's funny to be like, yeah, you can draft the Oracle combo. Go for it.
Thoracle combo. That's yeah.
Like I continue corn cobbing through. I'm not building a vintage cube. I'm not building a vintage cube. I cry as I slowly turn into a corn cob. But you know,
it sure does seem to be morphing into that, if nothing else.
It's, yeah. No, see, my vintage cube is different. It has two Black Lotuses in it.
Yeah, very, it's, oh wow, so different and refreshing. You're right.
Yeah, it's not Singleton. You know, theoretically, you could turn one a Shivan Dragon.
Theoretically. You haven't done it yet, is the point there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple ways you could turn one a Shivan Dragon. If you, like, draft, then draw the nuts. Because, like, you could go, like, Mountain Lotus Mox Dragon.
So we kind of wanted to just shoot the shit a little bit today.
Yeah.
See what's going on.
Like,
talk about it. I had a topic, you had a couple topics to talk about, and I kind of wanted to go through those a bit.
Yeah, like, thankfully there's nothing, at least as far as I've noticed, too insane going on in Magic news, which is refreshing and lovely. Like, there's been some leaks for Final Fantasy, but, like, I try to not pay attention to those until they've, like, you know, been officially revealed and stuff. Just, like, you know, I've got friends who do card reveals and stuff, and I don't want to harsh their situation, but, yeah, why
how
don't
we
just,
so we are kind of that would be a good, I think, flipping board into our first topic being the Final Fantasy set. That is looming large on the horizon at this point. I think everybody is kind of looking forward to it, bracing for impact, more like it feels.
Bracing for impact is a great way to sum up how I'm feeling about it.
Like, even there's this apprehension I've kind of never seen from my local game store and the way that they talk about it, because they, you know, before we'll start Commander games, the people who run the store will be like, and, you know, there's this set coming out if we're taking pre-orders on this. And they're like, every time it seems like, yeah, we're shutting down. We're not taking any more pre-orders for this because we don't know how much we're going to get in. If you want this, Commander boxes are fucking insane, or Commander boxes, but collector boxes are insanely expensive. And it I don't know, that this is one of the first sets I've seen that, like, it seems like, in a weird way, it seems like a scalper's delight, if that makes sense, where it seems like everybody is just acknowledging that it's going to get scalped to shit, that is going to get price gouged to shit. And I think part of that is everybody also looking around them and being like, man, everything kind of sucks right now. Nobody has any fucking money. So, you know, hope everything is starting to get better. And this is it's weird because it seems like it's becoming less and less of a cause for celebration every time I hear or talk about it.
Yeah, no, like, it's a really weird set to feel like looming. It's like, it's a very foreboding feeling because, like, you know, we're coming off Tarkir, which, good golly goddamn gosh, the amount that we've both gushed over that set, like what a fucking beautiful little, like, love letter for Magic. That is the most Magic set that it has been released in forever, and was a blast. And, you know, it's one of those things that, like, wasn't a super money set. Like, there's some big hits in collector boosters, but otherwise, like, you know, you open a box of that, you might break even, but there's, outside of, like, the few chase cards, it's not a super expensive set. And, you know, it's a reasonably priced standard set, and it's a lot of fun. Like, even when the cards, like, aren't crazy in on a financial standpoint, it's like, I love the designs of, like, all five clans. I think that all of their mechanics were great and flavorful and fun and beautiful. And this was just, like, Magic as we know and love. And then it's entering into Final Fantasy, which has so many asterisks and caveats, I feel like, attached to it. Because this is the first Universes Beyond set that will be standard legal. Like, that's weird in itself. Couple that with the uncertainty of how much product is going to be available, and the current projected, like, pre-order prices for said product, not even taking into consideration, like, the broader financial context that a lot of us find ourselves in. Like, even if we were all more flush, pre-orders for a single box of collector boosters, $450 fucking. That's insane. I'm sorry, that's fucking insane.
Well, and it's, so the thing is that I was actually talking about this on stream last night, where it is technically, that is the MSRP, but if you are going and you're like, yeah, you know what, I have a little bit of extra cash for whatever fucking reason, you get taxes back or whatever, and you decide I'm going to spend it all on shiny cardboard, you go and you try and find a box right now, you will not find one for less than, like, $550 to $670.
actually go and fuck yourself.
It is.
Oh my fucking God. That's
cannot fathom spending that much money on a single collector box.
Yeah, no, like that's like, no, that's like,
it's like unconscionable.
When a single collector box of Magic cards costs like as much as a fucking PlayStation.
Yeah.
Like here's the thing. You might crack the nut in a collector booster box. I don't think you're flipping it for much more than $600. Like, the margins are not there.
No. Like, you would have to get a serialized card that is going to maintain and grow in value for it to be like, okay, yeah, no, you are making a actual profit off of this. And that is not very much not guaranteed.
No, and yeah, like not just a serialized card, but an eternally desirable serialized card. Like I would say serialized card that even like outshines the Innistrad remastered Edgar. Like, you need
something that people will want for years and years.
Like, that is like, I can't even imagine what kind of card that is. And like, all of these cards are unique to Final Fantasy. Like, I'm not seeing, at least as far as I can tell, there's not really like super desirable reprints that have been announced.
Not that I've seen.
So because this is like a standard legal set. So like, unless there's like, what do you even put in as like the desirable like special guest slot? Like, no, those cards are cool, but like, there's no, that is just a poor financial decision. Like, and if you're flush enough to afford that, like, by all means, like, have fun opening the shiny cardboard. Like, I do genuinely hope you have a great time doing so. I wish I could, like. I love getting like a collector pack per set just to see what we get. Like when I was at the con, I hadn't bought a collector's pack of Ixalan, and I found one for a good price, and I cracked a Full Art Roaming Throne. So like, it's like, cool.
Hell, that's
like, that basically pays for the pack. Did I really want a Full Art Roaming Throne? Not really, but you know, that's a good card. I might sell it, it's currently in the cube because sure, but like,
because why not? Yeah
because, oh my God, literally the cube is like where all my nice cards go to die is the wrong word, but yeah,
go,
no, like,
to exist.
But these cards, like, this needs to be like the only way that those boxes are financially like. And this, like, and even then, no, like, I don't, if you crack one of those insane expensive cards, like, do you sell it right away? Like, do you hold it? Like, what's, I'm just, like, terrified what the limited availability of product and the current projected prices are going to mean for Standard. Like, Standard is in a really, really exciting, cool spot right now. I'm loving all the deck lists that I'm seeing right now. Like, there was a cool Jeskai Oculus list that I was seeing going around this past weekend. All the Cori Steelcutter shit. Like,
oh my
it's
God,
cool.
Cori Steelcutter.
Cori Steelcutter's, oh my God.
Cori Steelcutter, like, goes stupid hard.
That is such a fun card. And I mean, like, I hope that there's something that sick in Final Fantasy, but like, I'm having a really hard time just okaying this just on the price and on the availability. And like, as we're approaching, like, I don't want to really bring contemporary politics into this, but like, the tariffs.
Well, and that's kind of one of the things that is, it's looming, like, over any kind of discussion of any good that may or may not be imported. And so, like, yeah, I wonder, like, how are the tariffs, and nobody knows yet, because a lot of companies are still trying to figure out how tariffs are going to affect their margins, which is going to have a knock-on effect of how that is going to get passed down to the consumer, because it's not going to be savings.
And not, Well, and not just the consumer, but like smaller shops.
Oh, yeah. And how much that is going to fuck over, like these shops that will be, you know, looking at their margins, will be undoubtedly forced to like raise the prices on what is essentially a boutique product that as less people are able to afford it, and they have to like, is it going to be a spiral of less people being able to afford it? They have to move this product. They have to charge more for it. Less people buy it. They need to charge more and sell less.
Fewer people are opening it. Fewer like standard staples are available. Like unless for whatever reason, this is the most wet fart of a set for competitive, which if it is, oh boy, will I have words.
Yeah, that'll be crazy. That if they whiff on the design for this.
Yeah, if this somehow has nothing that sees constructed play, what the actual fuck are we doing here? Like, why is this, then why is this standard legal? Like, it's fine if these are, like, all borderline unplayable cards that get printed into Eternal formats and are funny for Commander decks. I have really enjoyed seeing some of the legendary designs that you know, have been leaked or have been actually revealed. Like, I think all the face commanders are cool. Like, they look fun to brew around. I don't think I'll be able to afford any of the commander decks because I'm not, like, I like Final Fantasy, but I'm not, like, there's nothing about the property that's going to make me be... I like Magic more than I like Final Fantasy. And I feel like I'll buy singles. I need to be better about buying singles for like IP cards that I do like. Like I've been meaning to pick up like so many Fallout cards just because I'm the worst person at being a trans woman and didn't play Fallout until this year. And wow, did they nail that design? And the designs are, what happens if we run into an issue? Like, because it's one thing if, like, there's a Chase Rare or two that is seeing a lot of play or whatever. Those tend to be less difficult to, like, because there's just fewer rares in a set, so there's a higher probability of, like, someone opening those in a given pack. Versus, like, what happens if we run into, like, a stock-up situation where it's this...
People wanting to buy it in a play set, in sets of four.
At uncommon, that's seeing play from standard through to fucking vintage.
I didn't realize stock up was doing that good until, because somebody told me that card got up to like what, $10 or something.
Foils are 12. Yeah.
God damn. And I.
It's okay, yeah. Yeah. It's have you ever cast it? It's crazy.
No, it's one of those cards that like I looked at when I was opening the only Aether Drift cards I opened in a bundle. I put it aside. I'm like, you know what? That'll probably be pretty good. And I put it in a Dimir deck that I barely ever played. And it's pretty good.
It's pretty fucking deece.
Yeah.
Not bad. Yeah. Look at five cards. Pick your two favorites. Bottom the rest. I think I will.
And looking at how that is affected by limited, I'm like, being able to, if you have four of those in a deck, if you're able to flashback it or do something else, you're just fucking scrolling through your deck, basically.
Yeah, oh, flash it back with the teamer Snapcaster Mage? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god. There's probably some funny version of that deck that one could get going in standard. I think it's probably a meme, but, oh my god, gosh darn, Tarkir's so full of just, there's a bunch of cards that I'm like, these are gonna be neat for the next couple of years. Like, oh, I can't wait to see, like, Sibsig Ceremony's already cracked, but I can't wait to see what people do with that once we've had a little more time to percolate on it. But like, and I hope that, god, like, the double-edged sword of being able to like feel this excited and shit about just like, there's so many like weird brew possibilities, or oh my god, like this tier two deck just got like super pushed based on this one thing that like I hope we can say about Final Fantasy, but then we're running into just like the availability issue. And again, like for like the range of $450 to $600 for a collector booster pack or set box, asinine. Whatever, that is like $450 is already asinine.
Yeah, that is, no, like the fact that people
it deserves to be brought up that
like a lot of this is it's not necessarily like the fault. Well, no, it is the fault of Watsy. I don't want to you know, let Watsy them off the hook
Hasbro,
here.
Who's to yeah.
Yeah, and part of that is just the endless corporate churn, and part of that is economic development.
Yeah.
But, like, even in the last year or so, I feel like I've seen a massive spike in, like, the prices of collector boosters going up.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, I feel like when I was thinking about buying collector boosters for, like, Bloomberg or a year ago, people were selling them for $25, $27.
Yeah, 25.
And now, like, I go and... You know, I have one store nearby that I'm like, hey, how much is it? How much are you selling the Innistrad collector for? And they're like, oh, 35. And I'm like,
that's only $5 to $10 more, but that's still like, yeah, that's a chunk of change.
And then when you add in like tax and stuff on top of it, it just becomes and then
$37 and.
And I think a part of that is also the recognizing that, like, okay, this is all gambling, right? Like,
yeah.
This is
everybody
knows. For example, one of my local shops, I had a lot of credit saved up there, and they just got Kamigawa collector boosters in, and they were selling them for like $29. And I was like, you know what? I've never opened, kind of like you were talking about, I've never opened a Kamigawa collector booster. So I was like, yeah, I'll take one of those. And I had another person there who's mostly a standard player but likes to collect rare stuff, who got like fucking nothing. Like, you know, spent $30, and I'm over here and I got the Black Dragon and one of the more desirable lands and, you know, a couple other like smaller hits. But I basically, you know, in card value, made my money back.
Yeah, it's like, when it comes to like collector boosters, especially, this is more of an aside, but like I love if I open, like, you know, I spend $30 and then I make functionally that 30 back in like $5 to $10 hits.
Yeah, that's versus, the good
like,
shit.
Versus like one big hit and then fuck all. It's like, no, please. Like I want, because then it's like, oh, cool. We get to spread the love around. I like that thing's going in there. Like, you get an upgrade. I'm probably going to try to flip this. You get an upgrade. Like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
But like.
But it comes back to this idea of like, there is no guarantee that for every good hit you get and the one that makes you go, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to buy another collector booster. You're going to have so many that are just like, they're nothing. They're draft shaft. Here's a bunch of 10 cent fucking rares. And I think part of that is like, I always feel kind of a pang of instant regret when I open a booster pack and I get like, okay, here's a completely normal, but it's foil land and then five commons. And I'm like, these really like straight up shouldn't be in here. Like this is not, I kind of deeply feel that like Watsy has to know at some level what are going to be the money rares in a set. Like, don't get me wrong, there are going to be ones that pop off and nobody knows, like, oh, this interacts with this old card, so it's like suddenly spikes up. But they have to know.
Hey, yeah, that old Kamigawa equipment.
Exactly. They're like, oh, hey, did you make sure, before you sent that card out, did you make sure it doesn't interact with fucking Shuko? Like, no.
Oh my god. Yeah, or but like...
They have to know for... You know, that like, okay, this three color board wipe that makes X 1/1 spirits is gonna end up in bulk. Like, this is not,
yeah, like this is a really cool card in limited.
Yeah, or which, like this is not gonna be like have a lot of legs. And so I feel like, I don't know, me getting on my pedestal to say I think collector boosters should have like five more rares.
Oh, absolutely. No, like, and I mean, like, I'll go to bat for shitty rares until the cows come home. Like, oh my, yeah, like a three-color board wipe that makes a bunch of tokens or some shit. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my god. Excuse me. Like, that's a weird little guy. I want to put that in my cube. But yeah, that's like, oh, like getting that and like the full art treatment of something like that, I'd be like, I'm going to walk into the river. I spent $30 and all I got was this stupid shirt that says I'm a chump.
No, but that's, it's fucking real. Like, it is.
And I'm, yeah, like,
I don't know.
Some, and sometimes I'll even, like, if they're like the turbo draft shaft ones, I'm still like, all right. But like, bought a collector booster for Dragonstorm. The full art, the big foil wasn't a money thing at all. It was the Sarkhan and the dragon frame and everything. And I'm like, yeah, but like, it's Sarkhan in the dragon frame. That kicks ass.
It's
like,
it's a cool card. If it's a cool card, yeah. I think there's something. What also pisses me off, and I've had, I don't know why, but I've had horrendous luck lately with this. I have had, like, and I don't open a lot of collector boosters very often.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I do, I'm like, okay, you know what? I want to at least get some cool hits. So I've been opening, I opened probably in the last month, like 3 March of the Machine collector boosters.
Okay.
Because I've just been building a lot of like Phyrexian stuff and been just building a lot of weird shit. I want like incubate stuff like that. And yeah. So I've, going through them, I've had multiple instances, and it's not just in that collector set, because this also happened in Kamigawa, of getting the same card in a collector pack multiple times.
Oh,
just in like, here's like this pisses me off when it's not even like, because it pisses me off when it's like, here's this card in the alternate treatment, but then it'll be like, here's this card in an alt treatment, and then here's that same alt treatment in foil. I had that with
my god,
like Nuzumi Blade Blesser or whatever the fuck, and I'm like,
the collation for collector boosters is sometimes fucking insane like that. And I mean, like, that, so that would be the issue of adding more rares to a pack, is all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I'm getting 3 Kembas and I need to walk in front of a bus now.
Yeah.
It's stuff like that
I like, I think people are thinking more about, or going to be thinking more about, when they don't buy as many collector boosters. Like, it's that kind of thing that I think is going to, like if you want people to buy the product still needs to remain good first and foremost. And I think so much of, like, Magic until now has managed to subsist on, like, a lot of players and stuff just kind of shrugging and going, oh, well, them's the breaks. Like, I shouldn't have gambled. But there is a very real onus that I think is on WotC to have better quality control when it comes to shit that they are now asking you to dish out even more for, without the, like, guarantee that, hey, you know what? Like, if WotC came out for the Final Fantasy collector boosters and they're like, hey, you know what? We are reworking the collector boosters. Now it's only uncommons, rares, and you're guaranteed to get 1 or 2 mythics. And, you know, this, like, version of a chase card and, like, all of this stuff. Every pack has a special, you know, the mana print foil or whatever that kind of chase foil is. Because, like, and that's, so this is another thing I've been thinking about as I've been building Phyrexian shit. The going back and looking at, like, okay, here are some of the oil slick Phyrexians. Here are some of the ones that have, like, the Phyrexian symbol on them. From the collector boosters. And it's like, okay, you can get a Phyrexian Vindicator, which is a cool fucking card, in the like ultra chase foil, rainbow foil with the Phyrexian symbol on it for like $4 or $5. And it's like, okay, this is not the artificial scarcity is not enough to, like, maintain perceived value. You need to actually make people feel like they're getting better value in this ecosystem.
I mean, so I have 2 thoughts on this. One, I'm 99% with you on cut commons from collector boosters, but the pauper player in me is like, but what happens if there's something that's like obliterating pauper and I want them all in foil? Which I mean, like, but also, like, oh my god, yeah, the Phyrexian oil slick treatments in particular, I love that I can get so many sick looking Phyrexians for dirt cheap if I buy them as singles, which I mean, is kind of, I guess, the thing that we're just orbiting. Like, I think everyone should just take a back seat from buying sealed product.
Here's the recommendation I'll give to that is that I did that exactly for Aether Drift. Like, yeah. I got my bundle. I didn't really get anything I loved from it. And then, because I got the bundle at a pre-release event, so it was still, like, you know, a week before the cards officially came out, I went on TCG Player, and I just picked, like, okay, because, you know, nobody, the Aether Drift prices weren't high to begin with. And so I just got, like, all the pre-orders, all the shops had started putting their stock up, and I just picked, like, okay, yeah, I'm going to get The Last Ride. I'm going to get Demonic Junker. I'm going to get all of the cool alt art treatments I want for, like, a dollar or two a piece. Haven't opened an Aether Drift pack since. I cannot recommend it enough. Buy singles.
Yeah, but just fucking buy singles. Just fucking buy singles. Like, it's, go to a pre-release, buy that sealed, because pre-release kicks ass. And then, don't spend. It's like, God, what are, if collector booster boxes are, what are standard play booster boxes going for?
So I think they're supposed to be 140, I believe, I think like the MSRP, but I doubt it's stayed at that.
Current MSRP is 145 to 150, I'm seeing right now. Jesus Christ. Yeah, pre-order for a bundle.
Is it like around, I am speculating it's going to be around like 220?
For a gift bundle, where I'm seeing 160.
Jesus.
For a collector booster box on TCG Player at time of recording, so this is May 5th, I am seeing them being listed for $655 United States dollars.
That is...
If you are spending that, may I have some money, please? I am the wallet inspector.
Yeah, like, it is... We are also... It should go... I know we don't want to talk about politics or something, but, like, I feel it... I would not be doing my responsibility justice if I did not say, like, if you don't have, like, if you do not have that money to throw away without thinking a second thought, do not spend that money.
Do not.
On magical cardboard. No, like, straight up.
No. There is.
At this point in time, there specifically.
There is nothing in there that is worth that much. There is no, you are not going to crack the nuts. I don't care if it's your lucky day, if it's your birthday, you're just a little guy and you're the birthday boy. No. Don't just what the fuck are we doing here?
Like, again, I say this with the relative authority of somebody who has, I cracked my, you know, I have a $2,500 piece of cardboard sitting right behind me on my mantle that I got from a collector booster.
Insane. That's so cool. But like, yeah, that is the outlier.
Yeah, like I am able to recognize that. I am able to. So here's the other thing is that, like, the thing that pisses me off about this stuff is that WotC, like I was saying, like, they know relatively where a card's going to fall on the value scale. Like, they don't know for sure what somebody is going to buy the next big Phyrexian for, or the next big, you know, like, whatever for. But they know that some cards are going to be worth more than others. And they know that certainly not all, like, commanders are created equal. You know, like, they did not, again, I'm just using my I've been opening, not opening, but I've been playing a lot of Phyrexia stuff lately. So, like, they knew when they were pushing out, like, oh, here are all the legendary creatures for All Will Be One. They knew fucking Kethic, Crucible Goliath, was not going to be burning up the EDH charts like Atraxa or fucking... Elish would be, like, they know that to a reasonable degree. And I think that should have more of a bearing on, like, the rarity and how they organize cards and stuff, because not all things are equal. But more than that, I think there's something to be said for, like, how do I phrase this? I forgot where I was going with that. Wow. I just completely lost track of what I was saying. I am so sorry.
Oh, no, just like, certain, you can tell when a card's design is actually going to be, like, desirable or chase, or it's like,
oh, right.
This, like, this is all of a sudden, like, this archetype has been given, like, the perfect commander, which I also kind of fucking hate. I do wish that, like, face commanders for cards were more niche.
Yeah, that is true. What I wanted to say was,
oh my God,
that, like, fucking, they are, do not think for a second, by the way, if you, when you do open that one God pack, whether it's a draft booster, whether it's, you know, like I just opened a great March of the Machine draft booster that had the alt art Urabrass the Hidden and an Ozolith. That's like a $15, $6 pack.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean like you need to, I think more people need to be aware of how WotC and Hasbro are very directly working on like addiction sensors. And they are working on, they are counting on you being like, you know what, I'm just going to buy three packs and getting you, making you feel like you got lucky on one so that you'll be like, you know what, I'm riding high, I'm doing good, I'm going to buy another two packs. And like, unfortunately, that's just like the nature of the beast. That's just capitalism. Like it has been especially intrinsic in this game since like literally day one. And I don't know. I just wish it wasn't so transparent sometimes.
Yeah.
But anyway, those prices are fucking nuts.
Those prices are fucking hell is what they, I hate.
They're really not great. They're really, it's bad. It's bad, folks.
Yeah, it's, I just, I, and like, okay, so like what the kind of like kicker for all of this is for me is this isn't even a fucking Magic the Gathering property. Like, this is a fucking Universes Beyond set. And I like Universes Beyond. I like Final Fantasy. But if we're trying to be, like, onboarding folks into the game, because it's like, oh, you like Final Fantasy? You like nerd shit? Yeah, come play the card game that all the nerds play. You need to spend this much just to get in. Like, oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, we want you to come play. Your fucking pre-release is gonna cost $10 more than an in-universe pre-release because we have to pay for IP and shit. Like, what the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah, I really don't know what the
I understand that like the solution is for Wizards to take its own IP more fucking seriously and give it the love it deserves if they want the game to continue. Because at this rate, you are going to burn out so much, like, so much of your player base, so much goodwill. Like, if we're having to deal with, like, this level of a price hike for standard sets that are going to be in rotation for 3 fucking years, like, what happens if, something gets printed in, like, the back half of next year that all of a sudden makes something from Final Fantasy just, like, super desirable busted. and there's no longer a lot of product available and no one really like there's not a lot of sealed product on shelves and not a lot of people opened the set because it was kind of expensive. Like, what are we doing here?
I mean, at that point it goes back to being like it is that boutique thing. It is the reason that I largely, and a lot of people I know largely, don't play standard is because like,
right,
there is an element of standard that is like, if you want to play, if you want to go and throw down at a local store, you have to be kind of in the meta. Like, you have to, if you do not want to get washed on turn fucking 4, you got to be like on top of it. And that requires money.
That requires money and like time. And, you know, you've probably also built this deck in Arena and are jamming games there and spending money there. But like also Arena is way more accessible, like, financially, all things considered.
They give you a bunch of fucking cards on Arena. They just give you shit.
Yeah, like, so are we turning Standard, which was traditionally the premier way of playing Magic the Gathering, into functionally a digital-only space? Like, is that...
Well, no, because even with that, like, the digital-only aspect, like, is different, as we found out with the Spider-Man shit that's upcoming.
Right, but
like, it's
will
still
that,
going to be a different thing.
But will that matter if the rules text is functionally identical? Does this just become a digital card game? And we just ignore the fact that there are, you know, pieces of paper with pictures of Spider-Man on them? Like, I don't fucking know. I don't like this.
It's not... Yeah, it is. It so as I was saying that I've been like working on selling some stuff, and recently, so I've been going through and kind of adding up some of my decks and like, here's the total, here's the value of what they're worth. And I came across, I was like, oh yeah, I did put a, you know, the Dimir Surveil, Karlov Manor land in my rat deck that I sold. Yeah. And I was looking up how much that, and it's like a $40 fucking land.
Yeah, because the Surveil lands are,
because of standard.
Well, they're eternally playable, but yeah, like they're
right.
But yeah, no, but they are, yeah, super chase in standard, and not a lot of people, like, that was not a very popular set, and I understand why. I mean, I, so the LGS that I play Pauper at has prize support, and I've been putting it all into, murders packs, just for Surveil lands.
There's some good stuff in there.
Haven't hit any Surveil lands with this yet, but I did hit a Delny, and so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, Delny fucking whips. Hey, Delny, tell you what, you get Delny and Arabella out there, like, that's a fucking game of magic right there.
Wowie kazowie yippie ki yeah. That's,
you start running some of them goblins from Duskmourne and sending them at people and gaining life, and that's good shit.
That's that good, good. That's
that good magic.
Oh, good golly, goddamn gosh.
Speaking of good magic, did I tell you what I did with a little card called Realmbreaker, the Invasion Tree?
No, but I bet it's speaking famous, what'd you do?
Speaking of bulk rares, this card
I love Realmbreaker.
Realmbreaker, fucking, I will never say a bad thing about Realmbreaker. That is my sweet baby now. I put it in my mono black kind of. So, all right. So I've been doing this fun thing where I have my Elish deck, I have my Shoulder deck. I've made them as unheinous as I can. So that people will not completely try and target me. The problem is that when you put down Shouldred or Elish on the command zone, people will still just like they'll just start taking your shit off the field the second you get it. Like, I've had like Soul Rings turn three just obliterated before my eyes, and I'm like, fucking why? And they're like, because you have Shouldred in the command zone. I don't want you getting her out. And I'm like, okay. So the new game plan for Phyrexians is I put little guys as the commander instead. So
yeah.
For mono black, that is Vran, Executioner Thane.
Oh, Jesus, and you're running like every Shouldred.
Oh yeah. And then white, that is Skrelv Defectormite.
Skrelv's a great commander. Like Skrelv in the command zone's one drop, actually cracked. Like gets your, I guess if you're in mono white, there is that one. What's the free spell for mono white that cares about your commander?
Flawless Maneuver.
Oh yeah, I've never seen that cast.
Oh, Flawless Maneuver is great.
Probably.
But anyway, so like the tricky thing now is that, so I have these decks full of, technically, I only have two of the Elishes, but I do have in my Shoulder deck, I have all three Shouldreds and the other Black Praetor, Gix. And so, technically, when you crack Realmbreaker, it says search for any amount of Praetor cards and put them onto the battlefield, which is exactly what I did. And let me tell you, being able to go through a deck and just pop out, Shouldered the Apocalypse, Shouldered Whispering One, just Shouldered, Gix is a real, like, that's a great fucking feeling.
Yeah. Not gonna lie. Oh my, no, like Realmbreaker, I've always wanted to put Realmbreaker in, like, you don't do an Atraxa deck, but like, you know what's gross? You know what's gross?
Doing like an Omnath deck?
Jota, Omnath's probably more flavorful, but like Jota, Wooburg, Phyrexians.
And getting all the Praetors.
Yeah, all of them.
Because you could probably just run, like, if you're doing Wooburg, you could just do a shit ton of like mana ramp and like artifact fetch spells.
Yeah.
To get it out and then just throw it out. And if you have 10 on the field, you crack it as soon as you put it out. And then boom, Phyrexian army.
Hey, if you're doing this, do you run Ebon Praetor?
No. I have an Eben Prater. That was in my it was in my fucking John Arenicus deck that I took apart recently.
I think Eben Prater's so funny.
Eben Prater's so dumb. It's very funny though.
If I'm building this, I put an Eben Prater in there just for like, I don't know. I'm in Wooburg, so maybe there's like an Impact Tremors or something.
That's adorable. I kind of like
that. Yeah, it's Eben Prater. Take one.
Sure. Yeah, take one.
6 mana 5/5 with terrible other text.
Yeah, it's like you, because every time it attacks, you lose half your life rounded up, and then if it contacts.
No. Eben Prater is so much worse than that.
What is it's whenever
here. I'm gonna drop this in chat, or I'm just gonna drop this in general right now. No. I know you're thinking of Phyrexian Negator.
Oh no, I'm thinking of nope, yep, I know Eben Prater from this goofy ass fucking art. Yep.
Yeah, Eben Prater with the fucking bizarre. Oh my god.
What if, yeah.
It's giving oh my god. What's the name of that video game? Jesus Christ, this is gonna drive me insane. It's giving pathological.
Oh, it absolutely is. I love the you know, this is a Fallen Empires card because it fucking cares about Thrall.
Yeah, it cares about Thrall, and you only get a +1/+0, so it doesn't even like
doesn't even make up for that.
The minus two. No, minus two counter.
I'm thinking of Eben Blade Reaper.
Oh,
could you? Does Eben Prater?
What's
Eben Blade Reaper is fucking vile.
Eben Blade Reaper would be really funny in a Phage the Untouchable deck.
Oh, for sure. Whenever this creature attacks, so it's on attack trigger, you lose half your life rounded up. Whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, that player loses half their life rounded up.
No, see, you could play it as a morph, though.
Yeah.
So you get the way you do it is you get around the attack trigger, but not morphing until it punches or is, like, unblocked.
Yep.
Oh, no. This goes nuts in a Satoru Umezawa deck.
Oh my god, it would.
This goes nuts there. Oh, no, this is a good card. This is a good card.
Oh, that would be so fucking vile, because if you give it ninjutsu, it just comes out attacking. So
attacking, so you get around the bullshit. Yeah. Yeah, no, this is a cool ninja. Thank you for showing me this ninja cleric.
Oh, that's, you pop that out at a table, people are gonna be so pissed at you.
Oh, I mean, I'm out here teaching Kozilek how to do fucking spinning drop kicks. So like, no, I've gotten the heinous Satoru deck out of my system.
So does that one Nesting Grounds, kind of want to see.
Wait, Nesting Grounds, are we just looking at cards?
Another target permanent. Yeah, so you can, if you have Eben Blade Reaper out, and I'm only thinking this way because I'm currently making a fucked up. Proliferate deck?
Yeah. Eben Prater with a Nesting Grounds is pretty funny.
Like, if you have something that lets you proliferate, that's, hey, -4/-4 to something.
Ooh. Get that good with, hear me out. Let me just do something. I have the stupidest combo in my head. This is your board wipe. You're gonna need a way to, here we go. Oh no! This does it because it pays for one. Okay, you're gonna want an Argothian Elder with a Thornbite Staff on it, and you can just blow up someone's board with the 1/1 counters.
Two target lands. Oh, that's pretty good.
There we go. We broke Eben Prater. Yeah, because like if you do some like hold on.
I think that Argothian Elder too. I have a lot of these cards.
There's nothing that lets you proliferate on creature on death triggers.
No, I've been going through a big proliferate phase.
Hold up.
Let me tell you, people don't love it when they think you're about to lose and you make 7 copies of Thrumming Bird when everybody already has 3 poison counters.
Here we go. You gotta have a Flux Channeler online.
Okay.
You gotta have, how does this work? You have a Flux Channeler. How do you go infinite non-creature spell proliferate? That's not copy, which bites. Maybe, I don't, I'm, mm. Oh, no. There's an Inexorable Tide. There we go.
Inexorable Tide will do the job.
Yeah, yeah. Just start storming off, proliferating, and then you're like tapping shit before the Ebon Praetor dies. Yeah, there we go. We found it.
Oh my god.
This is stupid.
That's very dumb. No, I've been playing with proliferate as
Then I guess you just have a
like stun counters. Puppet.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah, Venger's pretty good. Yeah, stun counters and then minus counters in blue black. So yeah. And I might fuck around with like Urtrata proliferate. I think that's funny.
Ooh, that's I'm into that. Very into that. Thrumming Bird, let's go. You may pay two. Yeah, because I'm trying to think of like, hey, is there any like stupid like Cloudstone Curio loops that you could be doing?
Yeah.
But like, wait, Cloudstone Curio, Lotus Cobra, Cloudstone Curio, Lotus Cobra, Dryad Arbor, and another mana dork with like, I don't know, something that gives everything haste on the field. This is stupid. I'm trying to build the stupidest, like, how do you like go infinite with bullshit? And I'm like, there's easier ways of doing that. I spent
How many colors are we in now? Because we got black, green, blue.
No, you can say Soul Tie with that.
Okay.
There's that one drop enchantment that gives all creatures haste.
Yeah. Mass Hysteria.
No, there's a green one.
Oh.
Let me find it. Concordant Crossroads. Yeah, so if you have, like, a Concordant Crossroads online, then you're just, I don't know, kill yourself before you make this combo. What are we doing here? This is a very stupid pile of cards.
But yeah, if you can think of any other kind of dumb kind of, like, you wouldn't think about this counter, like, let me know, because I'm making tricky Phyrexian Wizard shit.
I've seen some good, like, funny counters. There's like hoof counters for something. I'll send you after the recording, there's a whole Spice 8 Rack video where it goes through and this is a few years old, so there's even like stupider counters that you can put onto things now. Wait, if you're caring about just counters in general, you should be you're running big whale. You on big whale if you're in blue?
No, I don't have the Dreamtide whale yet. I need to get it.
Remind me, I have one. I can just send you it.
Oh yeah, I would love that.
Yeah, no, remind me. I need to find it. I definitely have big whale. Because I don't run it in anything. But this seems like exactly the home for big whale.
I love that you call it Big Whale. That's very funny to me.
It's a 7/5 for 3. That's a big whale.
Yeah. And it just lets you proliferate. Like, is there any downside to that?
Technically vanishing, but like only if you're bad at magic. Yeah, but
that's really not that bad, honestly.
No.
What was the other thing you wanted to talk about? Because there was another topic that I can't remember.
Oh, I was thinking about, there's been much ado.
Oh, you were thinking of fanfic, yeah.
There is, yeah. There's been much ado over the weekend about the lack of Magic the Gathering fanfic.
By whomst? I'm curious about where this ado is coming from.
Who raised it?
Yeah.
So I've seen it in a couple places, particularly... Amy the Amazonian was talking about it, I think, on a stream of hers. And then Kathleen Vandeveer from Loading Ready Run has also been posting about this fairly frequently recently. That it's just like, hey, it's kind of weird that like there's not nearly as much Magic the Gathering fanfic as there is a lot of other like fandoms, especially given like how often so many of us are like, it's kind of fucked up that WotC doesn't like provide more like in-universe stories and lore for like all these characters that we like. And you know, we kind of, there's been like speculation on like reasoning for that, and a big part of it is like fan fiction tends to be written by non-men, which is it's somehow contrary to all the spaces that I exist in magic broadly, not the predominant demographics of the game Magic the Gathering. And so, yeah, there's just been this very a little bit of a call to arms. Like, I've gotten in on it. This was especially spurred on by, on Monday, Kathleen dropped a little vignette, like, slice of life thing that she wrote about Thraybid Inspector. And it's awesome and charming, and it made me super happy. And, like, I think she did a killer job, like, getting into some, like, very niche goobies of, like, the day-to-day of someone looking into the murders on Innistrad. If I see the phrase autopsy bucket, that's doing so much heavy lifting for the types of bodies that we're looking at. And this has kind of spread to a good number of other folks, like, within my circles. And we're all kind of like, what if we wanted to be the change we wanted to see in the world? So, like, I'm about a third of the way through my first piece of fan writing for anything ever. I've had a couple folks send me drafts of things they're working on. Like, and the current ideas were, like, what if we just drop, like, a little anthology of, like, things written about, like, especially non-named characters? Like, putting, like, you know, try, like, take a common, take an uncommon. It's like, hey, I like the design of this guy, or like the design of this card, or
yeah, take your, like, this favorite jobber and, like, make a story about them.
So, I mean, I'm writing something from the perspective of Krenko's bookkeeper. He got the position because he's the only one amongst the Ravnican goblins who can count higher than the number of fingers that he has.
I love that. That's very funny.
Thank you. It's a cute little, it's a little bit of goblin gaining class consciousness, a little bit of goblin subterfuge. It's very much about a goblin with an email job that gets put in some predicaments. And I'm having a ball with it. And so, yeah, like,
where are you y'all kind of organizing this? Is this going to be on, like, AO3? You were talking about putting together kind of an anthology.
Is this ideally,
like, a plan for, like, a charity zine?
So we have not gotten much further than folks are writing things. A way to put this together as a collection on AO3, that's something I'd be really interested in. If we could do it as, yeah, like, some sort of more curated, edited, compiled zine, that would be kind of, like, the ideal. And, you know, potentially, like, having it live as a zine that also just goes over to AO3, either immediately or after a certain little bit, like, if we wanted to do something for charity. But, yeah, like, it's just been a lot of fun to be talking with folks and being, like, you know, I've got, on the back burner, I'm sketching out a short from the perspective of typhoid rats, because I love typhoid rats, and what happens if a typhoid rat is hungry and wanders into a Mardu encampment? It might be opening from the perspective of the rat looking at a dead body and being like, ah, shit, I have death touch. I did that.
I think it's a really fun idea. And I think there is something about there being a lot of fertile ground there, because it's not just that, you know, fan art and fan, fucking fan fiction. Sorry, I forgot the word for a second. Fan art and fan fiction, like, it applies very deeply, I think, to a lot of people who are queer, who are, you know, like you were saying, who are not necessarily cis men. Like, that is the predominant sector that makes it. And I think there is so much, you know, I've talked to you about me building my Ashnod deck and trying to make it, like, very on flavor and theme and, like, telling a story through it. And it's, like, there is so much of that kind of, for lack of a better term, autistic headspace, like, that kind of meticulous, like, very deep interest level that applies to magic. And you, like, yeah, I think Wizards isn't, they are not serving it well enough. Like, all of these cool stories that are out there to be told, and they're throwing a couple scraps at best, and now even less scraps, because, like, we aren't going to be getting story tidbits with the Universes Beyond sets.
No, which is fucked up, and I hate that so much, because I like the story, I like the characters, I like the planes. Like, I'm not to just keep, like, saying, like, yeah, I'm kind of, like, sketching out these different, like, fic ideas, but And this hasn't gotten any further for me beyond concept, but I think the concept's really funny. And I might, if I don't write this, I'm absolutely going to try to build some sort of deck around it. So I think I've talked about on here how much I love the variation of zombies in Magic.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Like just across the plains, like, you know, Innistrad has the most like classical capital Z zombie versus like Amonkhet zombies are like functionally still people, at least like socially, and they can like they exist among the living, and there's like lots of like honoring like traditions honoring the dead, and I think that that's like a very cool like breadth of how these guys exist. And I'm like, what if there was like a crew of like, thanks to the Omen Paths, what if there was a crew of like interplanar zombie drinking buddies, and they just get up to shenanigans? Like I mostly because I could not stop thinking of the phrase pub crawler.
I thought pub crawler is very good. Well done.
Thank you. Like the current idea is like, oh, and what if they, you know, they're on this like, you know, bar crawl across the multiverse and get to this like some super like recently opened, very gentrified kind of tourist trappy brewery on like Kaldheim, where they meet a Duskmourne zombie who like had originally been a survivor on Duskmourne and recently became a zombie, but then was like enlisted to compete in the Gaiapir Grand Prix. And, you know, when Vallgavoth, when Winter fucked everything up and Vallgavoth called everyone back, like he didn't get taken back because maybe he crashed on Murragonda and was just hanging out. Like, and now he's just dealing with shit and is looking for friends. Like, I don't know. It's fun. It's silly. But like, it's just, I think there's so much fertile exploration beyond just the main named characters that we have. Like, we have all the planeswalkers. We have all these like characters who have like legendary cards and all that. But there's so many, what about everyone else? Like, what does a goblin electromancer buy for their partner for Valentine's Day? You know?
No, like, I think you're absolutely right, because it seems like, it almost seems like the most we ever get out of WotC over these kind of like weird what if scenarios are like Unfinity card or uncards, yeah, and unsets, like to be a little bit more goofy. But you know, it's, you know, in the very first episode we did, we talked about Sleepy Time Tea, Nico Bolas.
Yeah.
And I think like that's a good example of like, so much of Magic used to be, and I've noticed this again going through a lot of Urza sets and a lot of older sets, building things lately, it used to be just a lot of fucking wizards chilling, just like chilling in laboratories, chilling in libraries, just like looking shit up. And you got a sense of the kind of lives and worlds that these characters inhabited. And as the kind of scale has increased to this, you know, massive multiversal struggle, and as we've gotten into more of the hat sets, I think you, like, both through the art and through the storytelling that's being done, you've definitely lost that, like, that kind of texture and that flavor for the universe.
Yeah, it's frustrating because, like, something that I love doing, especially in sets that aren't, you know, set on a particular plane. So, like, you know, anything that's like a core set or a Modern Horizon set, like, I love looking at the art of something and trying to be like, what plane is this taking place on? Like, where is, what plane is this goblin from? You know, where are these soldiers from? And just trying to like piece, like, because you can, yeah, just get these like little bits of spice for how these guys do the thing. And I don't know, I want to play in that space more. I want to see more people play in this space. So like, this is a little bit of a call to arms. Like, if you're hearing this and you've like thought, just had like an errant thought of like, oh yeah, like I've headcanoned this guy to be like this, write like 500 words about it. Just have a little fun. It can just be for you. It doesn't even need to be that deep. But like, I'm having so much fun writing, quote, goblin with an email job. Like, he's such a little fruit, and I love this man. Get you a fruity goblin to write about.
Attempting to you're falling in love with your own fan fiction is what you're telling me.
Oh, a little bit. I'm thinking this guy's great. He's, I got his, the entirety of the personality of him is based on the art for Crime Novelist.
Oh, yeah, Crime Novelist. I love that art. I love that guy.
He's just a little guy. Just a little guy. Like, he's a little bean
peak,
counter.
Peak little guy design, right there.
Peak little, and like, there's, my God, we can, The breadth of goblin design that exists on Ravnica is beautiful, and all Ravnican goblins are perfect, and I think they all need names and rich inner lives.
See, and this is, it's one of those things that, again, I've been, so we've talked about this a little bit before, as how I've been reading through the artifact cycle, and I'm on the fourth book now, which I still really like, and I still really enjoy, like, because I'm reading the parts about like the Keldon witch kings and the war bands and like all this stuff that's like really fucking, like, it's very Conan. It's very like high fantasy barbarian badasses just fucking, oh, they're so tough that nothing can kill them, but here come the Phyrexian.
Yeah.
And like, and it's so cool because it also recontextualizes, you know, every time you've looked at like a Keldon whatever the fuck in an old set or just going through bulk or whatever, you're like, oh yeah, the Kelds, like, sure,
yeah,
whatever,
those guys,
but it,
yeah,
it creates a deeper fascination, it creates a deeper understanding of the universe, the way these cards and these creatures interact, and I, again, like, I truly feel like they are missing out on, like, WotC as a whole is missing out on the earnestly very interested hyperfixation neurodivergent contingent by not spending more time and putting more effort and energy into capitalizing on the world building and storytelling. And I've seen this before, or we've talked about this before, of like, you know, just complaining, why the fuck aren't there more books? Why, like, especially yeah, now that we're getting half Universes Beyond sets, that should be more than enough to, like, okay, then you have half the need for as many books and stories to tell in this universe. But it's like, I was looking at the other day, the March of the Machine, like the teaser trailer they did.
Yeah.
And which, you know, you had Elspeth going to, like, face-to-face with Elish Norn. And it's this, like, Warcraft level of, like, lore and characters, and it's like, why do we not get that more regularly? And I think it trickles down to a point where, you know, you're talking about how, yeah, there really isn't that much fan fiction. I think it's because there's not that much fiction. Like, I think, yeah, I think it's when you have new players, when you have, because there have been a ton of new players who have come to my store, a lot of them are women or non-binary people, or just like outside of that cis male sphere.
Yeah.
And almost none of them are aware that, like, there's like a story to magic, that there's like that, like these characters interact, and like that there's, you know, Jace and Vraska and Chandra and Nissa, that like, these aren't just cool card names, but they have, you know, decades worth of history at this point. Like, if you throw down Karn, like that's a major character.
That's
who has
a
so
dude.
Much, like, yeah, like
that's a
that
whole
it
ass
has
dude.
Like,
this is a man with a mortgage, like
pathos and shit to these characters and history that has followed them across these epic travails and all this stuff. And again, I think it comes down on WotC like failing to capitalize on that. And I'm glad to see other people are. Like, I think it is super rad that you can take any, and it's a fascinating writing. I might, if you do end
it.
Up organizing something,
yeah,
I might end up contributing something, because
I will send you my goblin fic after this. I would love to have you be a part of this. Yeah, you know what, I'm gonna further pitch this just as a thing. Like, I don't know what this is going to be. Also, I do not want to appoint myself as any sort of foremost person in like the magic fanfic space. If you want it, like, go follow I Write Robots. If you want, like, go follow hen, they're fucking awesome. Oh my god, and tell them Bug sent you, and tell them about your favorite mirror. But like the way that this has kind of just been like broadly spitballed is, did you ever read those the Star Wars Expanded Universe books that were like Tales from Jabba's Palace or Tales from the Cantina?
So weird that you bring that up, because I was just thinking, like the universe of magic is so fucking expansive that like it should be treated like they are treating it like Marvel, where it is, okay, here are these the like 10 main cast characters that we're gonna filter in and out, but they need to be treating it like Star Wars, where it's like, here is a fuck off book about one person's like bizarre hyperfixation of a character, and now you know what Boba Fett has for lunch. Like it's that kind of stuff that they need to be capitalizing on.
Oh my God, this is not a Star Wars podcast, but as soon as you get away from like the Luke Skywalker of it all, or like Andor is so fun.
The thing with Andor, and the thing that, because I've been on a minor Star Wars kick that I get pulled back into every now and again. Because I have a deep and resounding love of like those first two trilogies. I can't help it.
Yeah, like I'll goof on the Luke Skywalker of it all, but I'm like, oh, I do love Disney's first gay character.
Yeah, like I'm sorry, you fucking you sit me in a theater and you make that the John Williams Skywalker theme swell to pretty much anything. I'll buy whatever the fuck you're selling in the lobby.
See your Chanel boots, Mr. Skywalker.
I know what you are, and it's. But it is this kind of like when you get into these side stories, because there were so many when Dark Horse was making comics.
Oh my God,
the Star Wars. It was Star Wars Tales. The Omnibus. There was, before it was Legends, there were these like just bizarre, like some of it would be comedic. There's the infamous very R. Crumb styled one, where Jar Jar's dad tries to kill himself.
Yeah.
That people, the memes that will go around about.
I was just thinking that the Gungan with the gun to his head is like...
It's so good.
It's so fucking funny.
Magic really does have that, like, that same level of expanse to it.
Like, we can just be doing this. I hate to be like, it needs to kind of come from the ground up, but, like, we can just... I think we need to be the change we want to see in the world, which is fucked up.
I think I showed you that. I think I sent it to you, but when the Ghibli art AI bullshit was going around, somebody was sharing their actual Ghibli inspired art that they did of Jason Vraska. And the Princess Mononoke, like the first time they meet, and Mononoke is putting the knife to what's his face's throat, but it's Jason Vraska. It's so fucking cute, and I'm like, you gotta be a real hyperfixator. You have to be real neurodivergent hours to go through all of this time and effort, and I'm fucking here for it, and I want to see more of it.
Engaging with the game beyond consumerism really is the theme of this episode. Jesus. Just having fun with the space, sharing your weirdo little stories with other little weirdos who want to see their blorbos go on adventures. We'll try to put it in the show notes. The Kathleen's little Thraben Inspector short. I'm like, this is great. And like, hi, I love Thraben Inspector. I'm sold. Like, yeah, what's she up to? Dealing with someone who a recent transplant from Ravnica. Apparently.
Well, and it's so like, again, looking at the way other universes and stuff, and this is not necessarily the best one to follow, but it reminds me of Overwatch when Overwatch was starting. And you would have these amazing, you know, the shorts and stuff, and then like every now and then you get, okay, here's just a comic, here's just a short story, here's just a little bit of an expansion on this world that we know you're spending so much time in. We know you love these characters. Like, we know you want to know more about them. And here that is. And it's just like, magic does none of that. So frustrating.
But what's so alternatively exciting is there's so few things that one could write that would actively contradict canon.
Yeah, no, like you could, talking about the Thraben Inspector, this one-off card that is like, it's a common, right? It's like a 1/2, whatever the fuck.
Oh yeah, it's a common. It comes in with a fucking clue token. Affinity count is at least 1. Let's go. Sorry.
Yeah, and like, you're good.
I love Thraben Inspector.
There is no shortage of, like, you can go and pick a random bulk card and like from the sumptuousness of the art, like there is a story that you can try and tell there. I think it's such, or like,
if you want to futz with the mechanics, like, oh my god.
Yeah. One of my favorite,
go.
One of my favorite fucking aspects of the books as I've been reading them, because the third book was really goofy with this at some point. But when they put the names of cards as like a thing somebody is doing.
I love that. I love when I see that.
It's so good. Cause it is me just fucking clapping like a seal. And it is that, like, they said the thing. They said Ray of Command. That's fucking dumb.
Yeah, no, I did that in the Goblin bit. There's something where we run into one of Krenko's enforcers.
Love that. No, that's great. That's good shit.
Or I'm thinking for the Goblin bar crawl thing, I want to have there's a zombie goblin that's with them that is strongly implied to be Putrid Goblin, and he's going to get bonked on the head, and then he gets back up, and someone's like, damn, what a persistent little guy. You know, because he has
that.
Persist.
That's very, see, that's fucking fun.
It's great. Like, just, yeah, integrate mechanics into how the characters are. Like, someone please explain to me what Squadron Hawk's whole deal is, how it, like, gathers more Squadron Hawks, like, as a dude. Like, does it have a special call that only other Squadron Hawks can hear? Like, give me that shit. I love it.
Yeah. I'm fully on board, and I hope more people get into that, and I look forward to seeing how that progresses for sure.
Yeah, no, like, it's just, this game can be enjoyed in ways that don't mean spending $655 on 12 packs of shiny cardboard. I strongly implore you to consider the other ways of engaging with it than that. Vote with your wallets, or rather, don't use your wallet at all.
Yeah, just whatever you do, do not buy the fuck. Just don't do it. It's not
here. Well, here's what I want to end that thought on. If you're going to spend $650 on a collector booster box, you should do that again and send me it. Know that you need to spend $1,300 on a collector booster box if you're going to. And that should disincentivize you.
It should. It won't for a lot of people, I'm sure.
It just contextualized for me that I'm like, 2 pre-order collector booster boxes is more than my rent.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
like that's more than like my entire unit's rent, not just what I pay. That's insane.
I'm gonna have a bold take here. I'm gonna be very brave and kind of live in my truth. I think that's too fucking much for cardboard.
You know what? Yeah, I think you're right. I know that we're this is a safe space. We're being really vulnerable right now. Yeah, that is more money than cardboard should cost. And if you're not buying these for, like, if you're cracking collector boosters, I hate to be like this, but I feel like you're buying these to bling out your commander decks.
That's why I buy collector boosters.
Just proxy.
Yeah, just proxy. Like, straight
just
up.
Proxy.
It is cheaper to go onto fucking MTG proxy or whatever the fuck it is, get 15 cards for $15 than it is, and you can get all the rares, the ones exactly you want, than it is to gamble for a bunch of chaff that you're not going to use. You know you're not.
And I mean, I won't say, I'm not trying to deny you of your treats, but just think long and hard about the treats that you're trying to get right now. I don't like that this is like a couple episodes in a row where I feel like I'm being much more negative on this game than I want to be.
Well, no, because it's not necessarily about it is a little bit about that, but at the end of the day, it is a boutique item. Like, it is it is fun little treats. And like, there is a big difference. And again, we were talking about how Wizards, they do take advantage. They are aware of like market data of like how addiction and shit works and filters down to the actual gameplay. And yeah, like at the end of the day, if you want to have your little treat, nobody is going to begrudge you the dopamine of like a $6 pack, right? But
yeah, like
you know, people need to be cognizant of that line. Yeah. But like be aware of also that when you are buying, when you are going out and you're like, oh my gosh, I need to get this. When you succumb to the FOMO, you are playing into the shit that is driving up the price of collector boosters.
Yeah.
Like the only reason collector boosters are this much is because Wizards like has people in a boardroom going, hey, line going up, we can just make it keep going up, right? And nobody's stopping it from going up.
This is so unsustainable. This is so unfucking sustainable.
It's a good thing we have a lot of bulk that we can go through and make other decks and stuff with. That's what I've been having fun with. I've been having fun barely buying any even singles and just going through and finding cards that I didn't realize I had and going, that would be a dumb thing to put with this.
Yeah, no, building like jumpstart packs out of bulk is so therapeutic. Like, if you're going to buy something that's going to turn into like bulk, think of how you're going to use it, find other homes for it. Like, I'm terrified about what the state of this game's going to look like in a couple of years. Just on a financial standpoint, I'm not even like, I don't misinterpret that as like Universes Beyond, whatever. I want to only be excited for Universes Beyond cards because I love seeing Thing I Know translated into a Magic card. Like, that is truly such an exciting like design space. But good golly goddamn gosh, guys, we can't pay. These prices are asinine.
Yep, but you know it's not. Going to your local LGS, go through some bulk, go find that rare bulk box and get some cards for 25 cents.
The
cool cards, they're out there. Go find some new ones. Go get you a Blade Coil Worm.
Go get you an Ebon Praetor.
Yeah, go get you a Teresian Mindbreaker. Live up.
Go get you a couple of those. Those are fucking. I love Mindbreaker.
That's a good fucking time. Oh. I put that out next to my Phyrexian Flesh Gorger, and people have to choose which one I'm gonna kill and which one I'm making copies of.
Teresian Mindbreaker with a Bloodchief Ascension online.
Hell yeah.
Teresian Mindbreaker with an Alter the Brood online.
There's a lot of gross ass ways you can take that. I don't even play like mill decks, but that
pretty fucking funny. Teresian Mindbreaker in a what's the crab's name? What's the horror crab's name? I can see the mind
Crabomination. Mind Skinner.
Yeah, Teresian Mindbreaker, fucking Mind Skinner. Get your mill on a budget. Play Mill and Pauper. There's a Persistent Petitioners deck going around right now. Invest now in Frog Advisors.
Bugs.
Yeah.
Where can people find all your stuff?
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you for asking. You can find me over on Blue Sky at Bugs Matrix. That's Matrix with a Y. You can also catch me over on Twitch. I stream occasionally and also host a game, a commander show called The Exhibitionists over on One Shot Network's Twitch channel with my buddy Tracy. We play every other Thursday. We get some fantastic guests on. Jordan will be on, not the one that's happening this week, but probably either the week this drops or the week after this drops. Be playing a little bit of stinky bracket one. Come check it out. It's gonna be a great time.
Hell yeah. I'm very excited. I'm still putting that deck together,
but I think it's gonna be
goofy as shit.
I'm so fucking excited.
And you can find all my stuff at Dead Domain on Twitter, Insta, YouTube, Blue Sky on occasion. And yeah, I think that about does it here. Go write some fan fiction and be sure to buy bulk.
And pass the turn.